What things work for good in our lives? Here's Skip Heitzik to talk about that.
God looks upon my stunted Christian growth and says, I've got just what it takes to make you into a strong, persevering, godly, well-rounded person. I'm after your growth. All things. Boy, wouldn't it be a lot easier to believe if Romans 8:28 said, there's a few things that work together for good. Or, okay, most things work together for good to those who love God. But remember what it says. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? All things?
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Have you ever begun a compost pile? It begins in the kitchen with collecting scraps of fruit and vegetables, coffee grounds, and eggshells, and those get placed outside in a sunny heap where they're stirred and heated by the sun and eventually become gardening gold. Healthy dirt. But the process can be smelly, filled with fruit flies and some hard work. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzik reminds us that even when things look dark, if we love God and are serving Him, we can be sure that there's good to be found in it. Learn why as we continue to explore more aspects of God with this series, The Biography of God. You know, vacation season is about at the end, but there's one more traveling journey we want you to take. And here's more.
Ah, the Mediterranean. Deep blue waters, cool ocean breezes, the cities of Turkey, Rome, and Israel. Haven't you always wanted to explore them? Now you can for the low, low price of $25. The Connection is offering a 3-DVD resource package that will transport you across the Atlantic and back in history to the time of Christ and the early church. Take a deeper look at Israel's history in the documentary Learning from the Land, which also features over 4 hours of teaching and interviews with Pastor Skip Heitzik. Then, sail around the Mediterranean and Adriatic with Pastor Skip in the DVD, The Road to Rome. Finally, end your at-home vacation by exploring the hidden treasures of ancient Jerusalem in the Underground Jerusalem documentary. The Connection is offering this 3-DVD package to you for just $25. Order today when you visit skipheitzik.com or call 1-800-922-1888.
You know, God can be difficult for us to understand, especially when it comes to suffering. But there is a purpose, as we'll see today with the conclusion of this teaching, The Dark Side of God.
And make the connection.
The book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, are the focus of today's teaching. So I hope you can join us there as we begin with Skip Heitzik.
Jesus would want you to know that behind it all, God is still in control. He is still sovereign. So he says, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now I want to give you a couple of points that speak to this. Number one, God did not create evil. He never created evil. He only enabled the possibility of evil to exist. How did he do that? Because he created people with free will. He didn't create evil. He created or allowed the possibility, the potentiality of evil by creating people with free will. Man comes along and actualizes the potentiality. You follow me? They make reality what is just a possibility. And they choose to go against God, which brings up the inevitable next question. Well, then God, why would God create anybody with free will? If that's the case, knowing that, why make a creature with free will? Simply this. You can't have a world where people have genuine freedom unless there's the potential for evil and sin. And if there's no free will, then there's no genuine love. And if love is the greatest and highest that man can achieve, then a loving God couldn't create a world unless he gave creatures the freedom to choose anything they wanted. God didn't create it. Number two, I want to point out here, suffering in the hands of a loving God can produce great good. Now we're getting personal here to all of us. Suffering, pain, even evil in the hands of a loving God can bring about great good. And David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." I'll give you an example, something that I read that really helped make sense to me. It was by a philosopher named Peter Kreeft of Yale University. He said, okay, imagine a bear caught in a trap. Hunter comes along, sees the bear in a trap, is concerned for the bear, and wants to set the bear free. So he tries to win the bear's confidence. Unsuccessfully. Lack of communication. The hunter tries to reveal himself to the bear as sweet and makes happy sounds and just spends time and gives it a little bit of food, but it doesn't really help the bear in that cage. So he knows he has to shoot the bear with a tranquilizer gun, shoot it with drugs to sedate it, to move it out of the way. So he shoots at the bear, and the bear is automatically in attack mode, thinking, this is an enemy, I've got to destroy it. He wants something that's harmful to me. Furthermore, the hunter has to poke the bear back in the cage because he's on the mechanism that keeps the door shut. So all of these overtures make the bear think, this guy's out to kill me. He's my enemy. Why? Because the bear isn't a human. The bear doesn't understand the motivation of the hunter. He has no faculties to understand it. In the same way, we cannot comprehend all of God's movements or allowances in our lives any more than a bear in a cage could understand what a hunter wants who's trying to set him free. And that's why you and I must be careful whenever we designate something as bad when God is actually using it as something very good. We say it's wrong, we say it's unjust, we say it's evil, we say it's bad, and it might be actually very good. This is seen in chemistry. You can take two harmful substances, when combined in the right way, become a blessing. Sodium and chlorine, both in and of themselves poisonous. Combine them. Sodium chloride, that's salt, can do people a lot of good. At least it can flavor your food an awful lot more than it would be if it didn't have it. It can be actually good. Okay, this is all theoretical, right? Up to this point. Let's get practical. God plays by his own rule book. He tried this on himself. See, God took what most people would say is the very worst thing that could ever happen in human history and turned it into something that was the very best thing that could happen in human history. I'm speaking of the cross. What could be worse than the death of God? When Jesus was nailed to that cross, people around thought, who knew who Jesus was, thought, this is the worst thing ever. Not knowing that it was the best thing ever. That would open the door for the salvation of millions of people from that point onward. Salvation. So, if ultimate evil can bring about ultimate good with Jesus, wouldn't we suppose that that could happen elsewhere? Like in our lives? So that if things are happening that are bad and painful and we're suffering, that maybe God's behind all this, actually working out something good. We don't understand it, but God's in control. I could list several benefits, but let me just give you a couple. Number one, the development of character. The people that you have met, who impressed you the most? Who in your life that you've met had the deepest character, the most to offer, the best perspective, but those who have suffered the most? If you were to ask, Corrie ten Boom, who was in a concentration camp while she was in it, where's God? She might be tempted to say at first, I don't know. But she came to know. And later on, she looked back on that as the plan of God. If you were to have asked Johnny Erickson Tata, who became a quadriplegic right after her diving accident, how she felt about it, she probably would say, I feel suicidal. This is horrible. How could God allow this to happen? Years later, she would say, it's the best thing God ever allowed to happen in my life. Number two, what about repentance? How many people have we met who in times of suffering, be it a divorce, a sickness, a death of a loved one, has been brought to Christ by that? I can think of so many. One story pops out to me, a guy I had been witnessing to. He at one time in his life was a drug lord in another country and an attempted assassin of the president of that country. His mother called me and said, talk to my son about the gospel. I did. He didn't want to hear it. Then he developed cancer. And right before his death, he gave his life to Christ. So, would that mother rather have a child that would live on and become a PhD and influence the world with his great knowledge and then die and go to hell? Or a son that would develop cancer, receive Christ, and is tonight and forever will be in heaven? God used that. Here's my question to you, to me, to all of us. Are you willing to embrace your suffering if it drives you to God? And if it drives you to God and the relationship is deepened, then is it really bad? I remember as a kid for Christmas, I get a lot of different gifts at Christmas. Some I liked, some I did not like. Bicycles and trains, I like those. Gloves and underwear, uh-uh. I needed both gifts. I can't live on trains and bicycles. I needed other things to balance out my life, and they were all gifts. They were all good. And that's why Job, when all of the bad things that happened to him happened, he fell down and he said, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can't close there. We have to finish out the story. It leads us to a fourth point, and that is an obligation, a spiritual obligation. Up to this point, we've just been dealing with the academic, the theoretical, for the most part, with some application. But look at verse 4 again. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva. I'm sure the disciples were thinking, what is he up to? Maybe he was forming an eyeball. But spit in your eye. I've always wondered why a lot of televangelists don't do what Jesus did. Probably they wouldn't be so popular. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Here's what I want you to see. To Jesus Christ, this blind beggar was not an academic case to be discussed in a theology class or a school of ministry. He was a person who needed compassion. He needed to be healed. And he said, the day is going to wear out. That's the time where I have opportunity and we have opportunity to help and to heal and to bless and to fix. You see, there's coming a day when you and I will be forever in perfection in heaven. And in heaven, we're not going to be able to pray for people to be healed. Everybody will be. We're not going to be able to counsel people or alleviate suffering or pass out a tract and evangelize. So right now is the day. Here is the period of opportunity. So we can't just deal with the problem of pain and evil theoretically or academically. That's a cop-out. We have a spiritual obligation. I saw a cartoon that had two turtles. Why turtles? I don't know. But the cartoon guy wanted two turtles. So they were talking to each other. And one turtle said, you know, sometimes I like to ask God why he allows poverty and disease and famine and injustice when he could do something about it. And the other turtle said to him, I'm afraid God might ask me the same question. Here we are, the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, the mouthpiece, the outreach, the expression of our Savior. And we have that responsibility. If you think about it, throughout history, who have typically been the ones to alleviate suffering and pain and hardship? It's been the believers in Jesus Christ who would go into war-torn areas and in his name alleviate suffering. So, how do Christians deal with evil? How do we deal with evil and pain and suffering in the world that God made? By putting it all in perspective. Yes, the biblical God is all-loving. Yes, the biblical God is all-knowing and all-powerful and everywhere present. And one day, he will judge evil and he will eradicate injustice. And until then, until he does, I need to help alleviate it. And I need to let it work for me. And not be so quick to say it's evil or bad or unjust or unfair, but to allow it to work for me. Let the pain work for you. I close with a parable. Once upon a time, there was a little plant, small and stunted, growing under the shade of a broad spreading oak. The little plant valued the shade that covered it and the rest which its noble friend the oak afforded. But one day a woodsman came along and, with his razor sharp axe, cut down the oak tree. The tiny plant wept and cried, "My shelter has departed. And now the rough winds will blow upon me and the storms will uproot me." "Nonsense," said the woodsman. "Now the sunshine will reach you. And now the rain will be able to fall in more abundance on you than ever before. And your stunted form will spring up." That's really good for me to hear. God looks upon my stunted Christian growth and says, "I've got just what it takes to make you into a strong, persevering, godly, well-rounded person. I'm after your growth. All things." Boy, wouldn't it be a lot easier to believe if Romans 8:28 said, "There's a few things that work together for good." Or, okay, "Most things work together for good to those who love God." But remember what it says. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? All things? Remember all things. Next time, pebble hits your little theological windshield. All things. When you hear the bad news, all things. When the doctor calls, all things. All things. You are a good God. And that's why we say, "God is good all the time, Lord. All the time, God is good." And here we are in this world, fallen, corrupt, sinful. At the same time, a place that still bears the marks of your power, creative genius. And we have a book, a revelation, and people of that revelation who tell of your love, your deep compassion, your care. And so tonight, we will say, "Lord, by your grace, we're willing to accept what you give, what you allow." And still say that in the presence of evil and suffering and pain, there is that biblical, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God. Thank you, Lord, for your commitment to us to grow our stunted lives into mature men and women of God. You're committed to that. You're committed to that far more than we are. We thank you for that love. And we pray that ultimately you'd get the glory because of our lives in whatever you allow. In Jesus' name, amen.
All Things. What an encouraging reminder as we finish out today. This is The Connection with Skip Heitzig, and that teaching was the conclusion of a message titled The Dark Side of God. And it's definitely one you'll want to listen to again. And will you do something else today? Will you take time to share it with a friend with the quick links that you'll find at skipheitzig.com? And if you're ready to know God, to understand His personality, how He speaks, and more, The Biography of God is for you. This series is ready to send to you today as a 14-message audio CD package for only $62. Or if you prefer to get each teaching individually, you can also do that at skipheitzig.com. And Skip and Lenya are in studio today to share a bit more about the dark side of God. So let's welcome them. Lenya?
The teaching deals with pain and suffering, and I know that intersects all of our lives at one time or another. And our listeners have been so encouraged in the past when you've shared testimonies about, you know, God's personal faithfulness to you. And I think that's what's good about a dark time, is that when someone else is suffering like that, God comforts us so that we can comfort others. It'd be really nice if you would share about a time where it seemed like you were being trapped or you were suffering, and you discovered later that there was a long-term benefit for that.
Well, generally speaking, as you know, I'm pretty on the up and up, and I'm pretty happy, and don't relate a whole lot when a person is super depressed. Though my heart goes out to them, I've just not experienced a lot of that in my life up to a point. Now, I've had dark days, and one of the darkest days in my youth was the day it was announced to be by my father that my brother Bob was killed in a motorcycle wreck. Just a couple years older than I was, but it was because he was the closest to me in my family. It was like a whole chunk of my family relationship in dealing was completely eradicated at that point.
Mm-hmm. You were about 20 at the time?
Yeah. And when that happened, you know, the bottom fell out, and it was stunning to me and hard to be at the funeral of a brother who not only was so close to me, but was so young when he died and died so suddenly. Nobody had any idea that this was going to happen. And I remember experiencing the Lord's presence during the dark days, but it wasn't like the darkness was diminished any. I mean, I saw light at the end of the tunnel, but believe me, the tunnel was very, very real and very dark. I can think of other days, like when my father died and mother died. Those are expected, and it's still a shock when it happens because it's somebody, again, that you love very, very deeply and dearly. There was a time when I left this ministry and was involved in another ministry in California, and for a period of time, that was such a hard transition for me. And it was not what I expected. And I remember facing some pretty dark moments during that time and trying to find the Lord's wisdom in it and what He was saying in it and get clarity. And there was a long period during that time where I just wondered what God was up to next.
It's those times when we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we still get up and we love the Lord and we read His word and we do what we know is right and just and merciful in His eyes, even though we don't feel it. And so those days can be difficult days in the pain and suffering, that you still pursue the Lord, even though the pleasure that you're accustomed to having isn't there, knowing that eventually, you know, that you're going to encounter that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And as you continue to pursue His presence, despite the pain, you know, you are going to come through and He will give us joy in the midst of, you know, these awful circumstances.
And Lenny, as you know, those are days of questions.
Yes.
Questions just pile in when you give them that kind of an opening, and you start second guessing your faith. You start second guessing the Lord's directing you and all of that stuff, and it can mount up. And it's great to have people and God's word, or people especially, to give you God's truth during that time, to let the light shine in. Whatever you do, do not isolate yourself from people. That's the worst thing you could do. You need to walk in the light, and if you can't see it, be around people who can. And my pastor, Chuck Smith, used to say, in those times, never give up what you do know for what you don't know. Mm. There's certain things about God's nature, just have those fixed in your navigational system, so that when it's dark and you can't see and you don't know, you're just going to cling on to those few things at that moment that you know are true.
Amen.
Well, thanks so much, Skip and Lenya. And if you enjoy Skip's teachings each day, I hope you'll take time to connect with him by joining the Skip Heitzig community on Facebook or adding him to your Twitter and Instagram feeds. You'll enjoy regular updates and keep up with all of his latest happenings. Of course, the hub for all that is at skipheitzig.com.
And make the connection.
So what does God expect from us? Find out when we join Skip for GPS, God's Positioning System, tomorrow here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.